Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where every week I interview a different small business owner and ask them the questions that matter, and that you can take their answers and apply them to your business to make what you do better and help you get it out to more people. On today's episode, I interviewed Kevin Cabe. Kevin is a friend of mine who owns his own travel agency, which, as you'll hear, is obviously not at its height right now, but he is embracing it. I'm excited for you to hear this one. I really enjoyed it. If you are somebody who is struggling with your fitness, and especially right now, if you're somebody who, you know, maybe you're even in a fitness routine normally, but the virus has really thrown everything off, whether your gym's closed or your nutrition, the way you normally eat is altered, whatever it is, I mean, shoot me a text, 251-635-8055. I'm an online fitness coach, and I'd love to just like have a little chat with you about how I can help, whether that turns into me coaching you or whether it just help, is me pointing you in the right direction. This is what I love to do, and I'd like to do it for you. So if you get a chance, and if you need some help in that area, shoot me a text. We'll set something up, and let me know what you think about this episode. Right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I have today Kevin Cabe with me. And Kevin and I, like I met him when I lived in New York. We went to the same church and everything. And then we've just kind of stayed connected. And he's a small business owner, too. So I just want to pass it off to you, Kevin. Tell everybody kind of who you are and what you do, man.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Brandon. Thanks for having me on. I've been listening to your show for a couple of episodes and enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, just happy to be here. I own Mission City Travel. We are a travel agency that sells leisure products as well as kind of getting into packaging mission trips, short-term mission trips for churches, for Christian schools, Baptist collegiate ministry groups that desire to go on mission. And so it's been a lot of fun kind of exploring the world of travel. It's something I never thought that I would be in, but I really feel like I've found a spot for me. So it's been fun doing that.
Cool, man. Tell us like how you initially like kind of got into it. You just mentioned that it wasn't something you saw yourself doing. How did you what was kind of your journey into the travel industry?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You referenced that we went to church together, and yeah. I think it goes back quite a ways actually. I found myself, my wife and I were serving, we answered a call. So I guess our story is a little bit more of a faith-based story. Yeah. We answered a call to go serve on mission in New York City. And soon after arriving in New York City, you know that it's expensive to live in a city like New York. And so when we got there, honestly, we again, had faith, quit our jobs. At the time, we were living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and just answered the call, raised a lot of money to get up there. And we're just trying to find something. And eventually I found a job that I couldn't stand, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It paid some of the bills. And so it was like, man, how in the world are we going to survive? And so like a lot of people, I, you know, started searching, you know, looking for side hustles. And, you know, we were kind of talking off the record about MLMs and things like that. I found myself involved in a direct sales company and just realized, man, people aren't buying this stuff. And, and honestly, selling a product that you don't quite believe in was also something that was challenging. And so, I got tired of hearing no.
Yeah.
And so, God kind of took a different direction with us. And I ended up landing a job with the Baptist Association in New York City. Now, again, this was probably 2 years, maybe 2 or 3 years into living in New York that I landed that job. But when we went to New York, we went to work with churches to help churches. And I remember the second week we were there, there was a mission team that came in to the church that we were helping. And the pastor of our church was like, hey, I need you to lead this team.
Yeah.
And I remember taking this team out. And I remember looking at my wife going, man, if I could do this for a living, this is awesome. You know,
yeah,
kind of leading a short-term mission team. And it's just funny how the Lord works. So fast forward, here I am working for the Baptist Association in New York City. My job is to recruit churches to come to New York City to get involved. And as I was doing that, again, still not completely paying all the bills, again, trying to figure things out, I had bumped into my job has me networking, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm networking with pastors, music guys, youth leaders all across the country. And so I was actually in South Carolina, and I had met a music minister of a good-sized church, and he was like, well, you know, I sell travel on the side. And I'm like, man, tell me about this.
Yeah.
And it intrigued me because also, in addition to what I did for the association recruiting churches, our association houses mission teams. And I remembered how many churches that I had to turn away in the summer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you only have so many weeks to bring teams in, and they all want to stay with you. And yeah. So I just remember thinking, man, instead of just handing them a piece of paper with hotels and saying good luck, maybe I could serve them. Yeah. And so that really started the process for me. And so I joined this little boutique company out of Connecticut. And honestly, it was a terrible first experience. And then from there, I bought a franchise, which is really where I learned how to sell travel. But again, I sit in such a unique place because the franchise that I bought was very vacation oriented. And they also took a percentage of my sales, and I paid them monthly, you know, for certain yeah. services that I didn't need. And so that's really kind of what got me into it. And then, you know, probably about two and a half, three years ago. So I've been selling travel in general for about the last 4.5, 5 years.
Okay.
About 2 years ago, I branched off and kind of started doing my own thing, but it really didn't start taking off for me until last year.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, here we are. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. That's yeah. cool. And you will book travel, just so everybody has an idea, like,
yeah.
Is it just you'll book for anybody in the U.S., anybody worldwide? Like, what does that look like? Is it just, like, what's your client base?
Yeah, so my client base is going to be – for my client base is going to be a U.S. citizen looking okay. to travel anywhere yeah. anywhere in the world. So, yes, gotcha. That is my client.
Okay, cool. And so right now you have another full-time job, but you do this as a side, and this is going to be your full-time thing eventually.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. In fact, if you're listening to this, it's March 2020.
Yeah.
And we're right in the middle of the coronavirus that's happening right now. Yes. But the plan for me actually is to go full time selling travel in April. And so we're going to run hard after it, even though a lot of people are canceling. It's kind of the nature of it. The travel industry is taking a massive hit right now. I'm hearing it's worse than 9/11 as far as the travel industry side of taking a hit, but
that's crazy.
So I'm looking forward to going full time and really running hard after it. So
cool, man. Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast earlier where they were saying, like, you know, right now, as insensitive as it may sound, right now is actually, like, contrary to popular belief, one of the best times for a lot of businesses because a ton of your competitors are going to kind of back out and use this time to kind of back down a bit. And if you, like, use this time to figure out how can I actually, like, ramp up what I do in this time, you know, some things cost less, you know, like, people, just for you guys listen, I mean, this is with my fitness stuff and my furniture stuff, I'm finding ways to still keep it rolling and even, like, push further into it, you know. And I think that's awesome, man, that you said that. One more thing before we jump into some of the practical stuff. I like to ask this question, and it very well could be right this moment is the answer. But what would you say are some of the biggest problems you've had to overcome? Like, give us, like, one big problem you've had to overcome since you started working in the travel industry. And like I said, I know we might be in the middle of it right now. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. You kind of referenced that, you know, during this season, a lot of people are backing off. And one of the things that I'm seeing is that my competition is truthfully, my competition is online travel agencies. It's Expedia, it's Costco.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding right now is that many of those call centers right now are just unplugging. Like, they're leaving guests stranded.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're not serving them. And so, you know, the difference between, you know, the average consumer probably has, I mean, let's play with numbers. 10 to 15 places they can go and book, right?
Yeah.
The travel agent has thousands of places that we have access to that the general consumer doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, so that's who my competition is kind of going up against the, that's my challenge, is going up against the client who says, well, I can just do this myself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. you can, but you're going to have to call an 800 number and maybe speak to somebody from a foreign country to get any help.
Right.
And so that's just one of the things that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Yeah. Well, let me move into some of the practical stuff. You've already answered, first one I usually ask is who's your target audience? You've already answered that with a U.S. citizen looking to travel, right? Is that just anybody?
You know, yeah, yes. So I'll answer that in two ways. Okay. If somebody wants to leisure travel, wants to go to Disney World, go yeah. you know, wherever, yes, that's anybody. What I've found is, man, the world is huge, right?
Yeah.
The world is huge, and it's hard for any one agent to specialize in the world, right? You really have to narrow that down. And so for me, again, what I've found is the market that I'm in is churches. It's yeah. churches. It's the faith-based group. And so I'm going to answer that in two ways. Anybody that wants to travel, but mm-hmm. really I've zeroed in on churches that want to go on the short-term mission trip.
Yeah.
And so that's who I'm really going after. So.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay. So let's get into some of the marketing stuff. Like how do people find out about your travel agency? Like how do you get out in front of them? Like how do you get new prospects? Like what are your avenues of marketing?
Yeah. Well, Facebook is probably my primary source of marketing. It's Facebook, but man, you wouldn't believe how many referrals I get. It's actually surprising.
Yeah,
awesome. The number of referrals that are coming my way, people that I've helped, I get tagged to posts all the time. You know, somebody on Facebook will say, "Hey, I'm looking to go to Disney. Can anybody recommend somebody?" And I get tagged to it.
Nice.
One of my favorite examples using Facebook. I don't even belong to this group. It's there's a Facebook group for youth pastors. Right. There's like 12,000 youth pastors in this one little. Not little, well, this huge Facebook group.
Yeah.
And so, again, somebody just posted, "Hey, I'm looking to go on a mission trip. I'm looking for group airfare. Can anybody recommend a place to start?"
Yeah.
And I've been tagged to several of those posts and have been able to make sales off of that. And so,
that's awesome, man.
My thing is if I can serve them well, they're going to tell others.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing happen. It's word of mouth, but the other day I got a phone call from a Baptist campus ministry in, it was Morehead State University.
Okay.
I don't know anybody in Morehead State.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody really in Kentucky that would have passed my name along.
Yeah.
And the phone call was basically like, "Hey, your name is on a list of travel agencies we should use. You were one of three." And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
wow.
And I'm super thankful for that.
Yeah.
But again, it's a lot of word of mouth. And I think I would also say that because of my role with the association, it's lended me a credibility.
Yeah.
Trustworthiness that people are like, okay, this guy can be trusted. And so it's been very fortunate to have that too.
That's awesome. Man, that's so cool. I mean, to me, like the dream is getting referrals like that. I mean, now it took me, you know, I'm about 4 years into the fitness coaching now, and it took me, I don't know. I mean, I got some early tags, but now I get tagged and stuff all the time, but that took a long time to build up that trustworthiness and like you mm-hmm. said, serving people well. So mm-hmm. yeah, man, that's really a cool feeling when people like recommend you and you don't feel like you're constantly having to like, "Hey, remember who I am," or "Here's
right.
who I am," you know? So,
right.
In terms of content, I don't know how much this applies to you, but like how much, like you say, like Facebook. So what kind of stuff are you putting on Facebook and social media? Like what kind of content and things like that are you putting out? Are you running ads? Like what does that look like?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of embarrassed to even share the leisure side of it. So there's a platform out there, for travel agents specifically. I just sign up for it. And
oh,
so
wow.
it automatically posts probably once or twice per day on my behalf.
Dude, that is actually really awesome.
Yeah. And so that's one way that it's kind of going up there. And so if you went and looked at my Facebook page, you'd be like, you know, because I'm posting those kinds of leisure types of travel. So it's safaris, mm-hmm. it's river cruising,
yeah.
You know, all this stuff. But then occasionally what I put up there, I'll put an airplane up because I'm advertising group airfare.
Yeah.
Or I'll throw a group up that's a youth group serving in New York City, advertising that. So again, it is Facebook, and then I actually I have a Twitter account that is for Mission City, mm-hmm. but I never post. I use my personal personal page for that on Twitter, right or wrong. You know, it is what it is.
Right.
I feel like I kind of am my own brand in a way too. So, so I do post a lot of stuff on Twitter. Kind of the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of targeting, you know, if you're wanting the Disney trip, the all-inclusive. I would say for leisure stuff, that's really where I've settled. It's the cruises. It's the all-inclusives to the Caribbean, Europe, you know, those kinds of things. So, because, again, the world was so huge, and I just can't specialize in all of it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think that's really cool because I do think, like when you said that your competitors are, like, the big travel agencies and stuff, the big online travel agencies – like, I think, like, the first thing my mind went to was, like, the thing that you have over them is that you're a person, you know what I mean? You have, like, you just said, you're a personal brand, and they can see, like, your face and your life, like, and they know, like, okay, Kevin is somebody who I can, like, if I reach out, I know who I'm going to be talking to, you know, I can develop a connection with this kind of, with this person, you know what I mean? So that's really cool, man. I actually am a big fan of using your personal account. You know, I have a business page, but, like, I usually just share to my business pages what I did on my personal, you know? So,
yeah.
Cool, man. So the top places for you are Facebook and Twitter that you put stuff out.
The content that I'm putting out. Yes. It's going to be Facebook and Twitter. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So let's move into your kind of your sales strategy then. So let's say that somebody's tagged you in a post, and you get them in contact with a prospective client or however it happens. What does your sales process look like, taking them from a prospective client to a client?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. I am relentless, ruthless, whatever about follow up.
Yeah.
And I don't delay in that. So if I get contacted at 10:30 at night, I'm responding ASAP. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many people that have went with me, if you will, because I was so fast and so personable. Because here's the thing: at the end of the day, like I said, I want to serve my clients well. I don't want people taken advantage of, and I think that's one of the reasons one of my clients came to me that I happened to be on a list of agents because they felt like they were being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And so, so for my process, again, it's just immediate. Even if it's just an acknowledgement of, hey, I see this and I'm going to answer you tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, again, it's that initial conversation. I would say that it's also, I'm home-based, so it's primarily over the internet and through phone calls.
Yeah.
Because I receive so much stuff, I do like to push it to emails just so there's a written record of everything.
Yeah.
And so again, it's just following up by email. And then, you know, closing the deal, you know, if I'm doing an airfare, it's finding out the dates, finding out what they need, when they're going, how many people, and then turning around, getting that information back to them as quick as I can.
Yeah.
And kind of closing the deal. That's pretty much been my process. Now I've started packaging mission trips, which is another area that we can kind of go into too. But, that process takes a little longer because, there's a little bit more back and forth of, I need to know more information. They need to know more information. But I mean, it's been pretty painless so far.
So are those, when you're actually closing the deals and getting things wrapped up, is that via like a phone call? Is it usually just like an email or messenger? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, most of the time it's going to be in an email.
That's cool. So you don't even need to like get on the phone and talk through things.
I mean, along the way, like for an airfare, I probably don't need to get on the phone.
Right.
But like if I'm doing a package mission trip, there's going to be a phone conversation, a little bit of one. Yeah. And honestly, that in some cases, that's just to speed the process up. Like, hey, I'm waiting on this information.
If they're a slow email reply.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so whenever I'm ready to close it up and wrap it up, they get an invoice by email. There's due dates for them to send it. And so we just kind of, you know, hey, is this acceptable? Yes. And then we roll with it. You know? So, yeah.
Cool. This is kind of a side note question.
Sure.
A little more in the theoretical than practical. But what do you – I'm the same way about, like, quick replies to people. Yep. I will say, like, there are times since I started doing the furniture business as well, like if I'm driving around, my reply times can be a little slower. But even then, like I hit a red light, I'm replying like via voice message, something like that. So what do you think causes so many people to not be quick repliers? You know, like any idea? Like I this is more just a like selfish, like why do people do this question for me? You know what I mean? Like,
there could be a lot of reasons. It could be, it could be they're busy. It could be, you know, in that moment, something's going on. It could be, in my case, they might have to ask a boss.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there's so many different factors as to why they're slow.
It's always just blown my mind. Like, I don't mind it so much. Like if it's a client of mine, I don't expect quick replies. I mean, they're paying me, you know what I mean? They can, it's great if they do, but like, if I am actually paying someone else or like, you know, considering like hiring somebody and they like message me back the next day, you know, I'm not going to hire that person. That's just me.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And that's why I feel like I know that there's so many travel agents that are out there. It's just like, man, I live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the real estate business is booming here. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of real estate agents. And so you got to be on your game. I know there's that many travel agents around the world, around the country, that they could just, you know, if they're really looking, they're going to find somebody. Right.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, man, I got to be on it. So,
Cool, man. Well, so let's go into, so I usually ask here, like client retention. So, you know, how do you retain clients, things like that? I know the nature of your business is a little more like one transaction, but do you ever get like repeat customers, you know, like people who will hire you once and then you do a good job, and then the next time they need travel, they reach back out to you? Is that a thing for you right now? You still there?
I'm still here.
Cut out for a second.
It's doing something funny. So the question on retention. Yeah, I do. I do have repeat guests, and I would say the repeat guests are honestly are going to be, again, in that mission trip world. One of my favorite clients is a church out of Temple, Texas.
Okay.
Never met them, but they have used me for probably 6 different projects.
Nice. Yeah,
that I've been able to help them on. And so that's one. And then I have a church, I have a couple of churches in Tennessee that continue to call me, to offer some stuff. And so I just think that goes back to serving church as well.
Yep.
These churches are probably more airfare clients, but again, putting it on my calendar, following up, you know, giving them heads up a couple of days before when things are due, and just being super responsive. I've helped some of them through some obstacles that came up. You know, you've always got the one kid who is traveling international and they've not got their passport and in panic mode.
Yeah.
And so to kind of be able to, okay, take a deep breath. This is what we got to do, you know, kind of walk them through those kind of things. But so retention is huge. So,
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. So moving into a little bit more of like you as the business person stuff, like with self-improvement and continuing to grow, like in your field, like what does that look like for you? You know, as an example for me right now, for the past several years and probably for the foreseeable future, like I used to be a big, like sit down and read a book guy. I am not that anymore. Now I'm very audio, like podcast, like podcasts and audiobooks and stuff on like the different aspects of coaching, you know, from the programming to the psychological things. You know, now I'm learning a lot about furniture. I'm checking out like books on like vintage furniture from the library. And I just look at those when I can, but you know, what does that look like for you? You know, is travel a thing where it's like, once you get it, you've got it, or is there kind of like a constant learning curve? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much content that's out there for travel agents. I'm affiliated with what's called Travel Leaders. And so just by that affiliation, I have just so much content for resources, for webinars and trainings and things like that. All the suppliers that we have access to, they're constantly putting out webinars because they want you to sell their product, right?
Yeah.
So I have tons of stuff for that. Now, do I do all of that? No. Mm-hmm. Should I do more? Probably. But again, I do have the access, the ability to kind of check in on some of those things. Again, for the things that I'm passionate about, like Disney, they have their own College of Disney. You know, yeah. I like to go through that because at the end of that, there's free stuff for travel agents.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And then, so that's something. Cruises, like there's one cruise line, Princess Cruises. Once I complete their online training portal, I'm given a free cruise.
Cool.
Again, kind of some of the perks to it as well. A lot of the cruise lines will offer what they call seminar at sea. You pay a greatly reduced rate to go on the cruise, experience it like the other guests, but during the day, you're going to go sit in on some classes and learn how to better sell their product.
Yeah.
So those are some things that once I'm able to go full time here very soon that I look to take advantage of. Podcasts, man, that's I'm really embarrassed to say here we are at 2020 and I'm just now starting to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably blame you for that, to be honest with you.
because I
was like, man, let's see what this thing's all about. And again, you've turned out a great product. And so,
I
listened to yours and there's several other people that I've started listening to. Yeah. There's so many podcasts out there and, you talk about Gary Vee. I've heard you mention him a lot. I check him out. Another guy, Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, these guys have like 400 episodes. So I like kind of have to pick and choose like, hey, that sounds interesting. Let's see what that's about.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Podcasts, man, they are my favorite, because they're free and they're so packed with information. Like, it's so many different topics I listen to stuff on, but I really like try to focus I have podcasts I listen to at certain times. Like when my brain is full and I feel like I just need to act, I just put on a podcast about like pro wrestling or Star Wars or something. That's not important. I just like listening to, I mean, it's just, anyway, that's really awesome, man. I'm glad you're doing the podcast thing. It's like, once you find one and it's like, it opens up a whole world for you and you're just like, you're hooked,
And at the same time as you, I go through these spurts where I'm like, I got to learn about my business. I got to see what others are doing. And it's just like what you say. It's so funny. We're so much alike. And then I'm like, as I'm scrolling, like, I got to find something else. And then I stumble across the Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
And so I'm like, I grew up watching pro wrestling. And so to be able to listen to, him talk to, man, I've listened to several of them.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I'm like, just get your mind off of it, and then kind of come back. So,
yep, that's exactly. I find my brain gets into those phases. You just sometimes just it's full and you can't retain anything. That is hilarious, man. We got to talk pro wrestling more off show here. So getting a little bit more. So this is one I like to ask. I think regardless, like most small business owners, they're doing something that they enjoy, right? Like I know that there are the few out there who just got into something purely because they saw the dollar signs, and if that's their thing, cool. But at most people, they started a small business around something that they care about, they're passionate about, they think helps people, whatever it is. But even when that's the case, there are days or sometimes stretches of time where your motivation is low, where you're not feeling particularly like inspired, where it feels like you're just kind of like struggling to even maintain, let alone like push ahead in your business. So how much of that do you experience? And when it happens, like how do you find ways to kind of like get yourself out of it? Like what kind of kicks you back into gear?
Yeah. Much of my business is cyclical too. So, I spend a lot of my time pushing people towards spring break and towards summer. And so, I work hard during those seasons. And then there's seasons where it's like, will my phone ever ring? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I definitely experience those things. I also try and take, I'm in Facebook groups and I'm seeing what other agents are doing. And to me, those downtimes, you want to work in your business and you want to work on your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the calls aren't coming through as much, it's like, okay, well, let's just shift gears and let's work on it. Whether that means I got to do a better marketing plan or whether that means I need to go find a conference to go set up and, look for that next conference where I can go and have some more, conversations and share what is going on. So, really try not to get discouraged because, let's just be honest. Like, for me, I love what I get to do.
Yeah.
I love helping people. you know, when you're talking about the leisure side of travel, most people like to talk about going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about going on vacation. Yeah. I love going on vacation. But then when it comes to like the mission trip side of it, man, nothing gets me more excited to like, cause I feel like I have a kind of a part in their story, right? I'm helping them mobilize to be on mission is the way that I feel. Yeah. And if I'm, you know, whether I'm helping an airfare or whether I'm, you know, hey, maybe I'm connecting a group. Maybe a group wants to go somewhere international and they don't have any connection at all. They just realize, man, I really want to go to this country.
Yeah.
And to be able to help that church connect some dots and then to be able to send them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's a really fun and powerful thing. And so, you know, I guess that's kind of how I kind of just keep myself motivated too, yeah. I guess. It's just not let myself get down and just kind of keep plugging along and, again, work on or work in your business. So
that's great, man. I like that. I like the cyclical nature of that. That's really cool. So when it comes to planning for your business, you know, I think a lot of times there are some people who just are day to day. There are some people who try to shoot way too far into the future to not account for like enough all the variables that are going to happen. Like, what does planning look like for you? Is it kind of like a, you know, time frame wise and just what that looks like planning for the future of your business?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not day to day in my world. I, you know, again, because it is cyclical, you know, this coronavirus has thrown everything off. Yeah. I would say from probably last summer, the end of last summer, I was working really hard for spring break and summer of this year. And so I spent a ton of time, again, whether it's, you know, quoting trips, package trips for New York, whether it's, you know, spring break trips for churches and things like that. So this should be the season where I'm kind of like just managing, right? If everything was, when everybody was traveling, I'm managing my calendar to make sure payments are happening on time. Managing them actually getting ready to go to the field, go on their vacation, you know, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I work really hard from about August, September is the starting point. And it goes really hard until probably close to the end of the year. Things will shut down about the second week in December. Mm-hmm. And then right after the first of the year, it just fires right back up. So January and February are going to be busy for those that don't plan ahead.
Yeah.
And so those calls kind of come through too. And so I'll share this with you, man. Something really unique happened to me in September, fall of last year. There was a competitor up in New Jersey that did a lot of stuff, bringing mission teams in as well.
Yeah.
And so I got to know this guy. This guy started doing this back right after 9/11, bringing in churches and stuff like that. And I got to know this guy because, again, I'm always networking and looking for ways that I can also serve. And I approached this guy in the sense of, hey, man, you're bringing these people in. What if I could help serve? They're coming to New York. Most of them are going to fly. So how about I help provide airfare? Well, that was the initial starting conversation. And that was 2 years ago. And in September, he approached me and said, Kevin, he said, I've been doing this for 18 years or so. And he said, it's really time for me to do something else. Can I transition my clients to you?
Oh, wow.
And man, I can't tell you what that has done for my business.
Yeah.
Is where, you know, if you're into denominations, you know, I work for a Baptist one, right? So I feel like I get a lot of phone calls from Baptist folk, but this guy had everybody else. And so now I have different, you know, Presbyterian, Christian churches that are calling me that I'm helping to be able to package mission trips and stuff. That has really taken that side of my business and kind of skyrocketed it. And when he did that, man, he handed me the keys to his website. He handed me a thumb drive with every client that he's had for the last 10 years.
Jeez,
and so
that's awesome.
And so again, like the Lord just laid that out there. And so been very fortunate for that. So that's, like I said, that's an area of growth that I will definitely be tapping into and reaching out to some of those past clients to say, hey, you know, you were familiar with this guy, this organization and we've kind of merged and, we look forward to serving you just the way that you were served before and, come back kind of thing. So, and expanding it too. That's the thing. You know, I've been leading trips in New York because I live there, because I was comfortable with it. But I'm also doing the same thing in Washington, D.C. Wow. And now that I live in the Myrtle Beach area, I mean, who doesn't want to go to the beach, right?
Right.
So I'm also able to do that here as well. So
yeah, that's really awesome, man. Congrats on that acquisition. That's really cool.
Yeah,
man. So this is one final very practical question. Then we'll start to just do a couple of wrap up questions. How do you take payment? Like, is there a certain website you use, or do you kind of like leave it up to the customer? Like, what does that look like for you, payments?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Checks.
Okay.
Checks are for churches, it's checks. Or it's going to be. I have a Square account, so mm-hmm. I'm going to take their credit card authorization form. They send that back to me, and I'm able to use it, to put it in manually. For leisure stuff, I'm really taking their credit card and applying it directly to the cruise line or something like that. So, it's going to be credit card or it's going to be checks.
Cool. You're the first person to say checks on the podcast. That's interesting. But the nature of it totally makes sense. So. Yeah, man.
That's right. Sure. That's right. And plus, with you know, well, and again, with churches, I mean, I'd much rather have one payment from one as 20 different payments. So,
Totally.
It just makes sense for them to do a church. So,
yeah. All right, man. Let's start to wrap up here. A few final questions. So, let's say that you run into somebody who's like about to pursue their passion, or they just started a small business, they're just in the very, very early stages, like first month or two. Like, if you could only give, like, a new small business owner one piece of advice, what would it be? It doesn't have to be in your field, just a new small business owner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's two things. Shut off the noise, because people are going to give you all kinds of things. Yes, you should do it. No, you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. So shutting off the noise, and then the other thing would be, what I've found to be successful is when I began to zero in on a niche or a niche, however you want to pronounce that.
Yeah. I do the same thing.
Yeah. So whenever you want to zero in on that, I would tell a business owner, like, block out the noise, stay laser focused, and then kind of drill down on what you're trying to accomplish, because you become the master of it, right? You want to be the authority in whatever you're doing in that area. And so it's hard to do that when you're covering a lot of ground.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, totally, man. That's really good. Thank you. Being somebody that you've listened, I was going to cut this off at like the 10th guest, but being somebody that you've listened to the podcast a good bit, are there any questions that you kind of wish I would ask, that I haven't been asking my guests, like that you'd like to hear different small business owners answer?
I think stories are always important. So, whether that comes in the form of, I mean, you did ask what I did before this, but you know, some stories or maybe, examples of, man, let's talk about the joys of your business. Let's talk about those kinds of things. Let's talk about where it hurt.
Yeah.
Have you wanted to hang it up? Have you wanted to walk away? And, or the next thing I would, even this, what's next for your business? What are you working on next?
I like that.
I think that could be a great one. Is okay, cool. We've learned about you. We know where to find you, but man, what are you working on? What's your next thing that you're doing?
I like that. I'm adding that.
So
cool, man. Thanks. And so where can we find you? If somebody hears this and they're like, I need to book something right now in the middle of the pandemic, where would they find you?
Well, first of all, you can certainly get some cheap rates right now.
Yeah.
if you were looking, www.missioncitytravel.com, okay. Or you can find us on Facebook by searching Mission City Travel, is where you can find us. And,
cool.
Would love to be able to help, love to be able to serve. So
awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Well, I'm going to wrap it up, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Man, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man, of course. Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.